The County 10 podcast is made possible by Elevate Rehab Hand and Orthopedic Physical Therapy at 4th and Main in Lander. Dr. Stephen Elmer and Ryan Flatt treat conditions affecting the entire body. They specialize in return to work training and FCE testing. Elevate Rehab also has the only two hand therapists in Lander, Michelle Mazur and Laura Varner. Follow Elevate Rehab on social media for more information. The Wyoming Department of Transportation reminds you to never drink and drive. DUIs could cost you financially, could cost you a job, or even worse, they could cost your life or someone else's life. Get a sober driver every time and never drink and drive. Rendezvous Dental is accepting new patients now. Dr. Crane and Dr. Sackett bring the latest state-of-the-art technology and techniques to Fremont County. They are located at 312 North 8th West in Riverton. Follow Rendezvous Dental on social media for more information.
This is the County 10 Podcast. News, sports, events, and conversations for the people who call Fremont County home. From the Porter's 10Cast studio, here's Amanda Faring.
This is County 10 reporter Amanda Faring coming to you from the Porter's 10Cast studio here. Today I have on the phone Wyoming's First Lady Ginny Gordon to discuss the Wyoming Hunger Initiative. So Ginny, thanks for joining me today. Let's just kind of start with the background of the initiative. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So we did launch in October of 2019, and that was after really traveling around the state and trying to understand the needs of the different communities and also seeing the organizations that were already working in that area. And what I quickly realized is that I didn't want to reinvent the wheel, that there were people who had been working on this for years and years and years, and they were doing great work. And really what they needed was maybe a little more of a spotlight, some networking, and just an ability to be recognized and maybe raise some funds for projects that they're doing. So we got, you know, everything organized and got our grant process ready, and our grants were going to be for infrastructure only, not for food. And we got it all, you know, I have a board who's a wonderful board, and they all, you know, we wrote the process up and got it going, and then COVID hit and realized pretty quickly that people were going to be in need of food. Infrastructure, of course, is also needed, but food was really going to rise to the top. And we had some very generous donors step up immediately across the state and wanted us to do emergency COVID relief. And so we did keep our grant process and just released in May $50,000 worth of infrastructure grants to different organizations around the state. But in addition to that, we have also released two rounds of COVID-19 emergency food funding, $40,000 in April, $40,000 in May, and we're committed to doing that through August with the funds from our generous donors.
That's fantastic. That'll go through August. Ginny, can you explain what the infrastructure side of this is for our listeners?
Sure. So if they need a refrigerator or freezer for their food pantry or maybe some shelving, one group wanted a dehydrator because they grow vegetables and wanted to be able to do that, dehydrate them in the fall. We've had I wish I had the list in front of me, but it's stuff like that.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks for explaining that, Ginny. So a few weeks ago, I actually interviewed a few members of the Wyoming Food Coalition, and I'm curious if you have been working with them at all. It seems like your kind of initiatives are aligning here, so I'm just curious as to if there's any connection there.
Yes, so they had one of their meetings in the fall in Casper, and I attended that and spoke a little bit about my initiative. And then I did visit with them when COVID hit, and they were still feeling like they still were getting their feet under them. So we just agreed to just kind of share some information, and if there comes a time that we need to collaborate a little more closely, then we're prepared to do so. Christine's Porter's been a very great advocate for that organization.
Yeah, she's one of the folks that I chatted with, and she was fantastic and very passionate about it. So it was great to see that. Because one of the things, like in the conversation that came out, that I didn't realize is Wyoming didn't have any kind of advisory board or anything like that across the state, kind of helping those local growers, producers, and consumers. So I find this pretty great that this is happening, and really hope that momentum keeps up and they keep moving forward there. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
Right. We were the last state in the union. So
yeah.
I'm really glad they got that accomplished.
Me too. Yeah. I think it's going to be a fantastic thing. And yeah, looking forward to seeing that as it goes. So Jenny, let's discuss your work here locally in Fremont County with Wyoming Custom Meats there in Hudson. How did they become to be the ones to process the donated beef?
Right. So I am a rancher, and I always thought that when I started this initiative that it'd be great to roll in production agriculture, because we are a state that has, you know, a lot of production agriculture. And so I thought it'll be something down the road when we get our feet under us. Of course, after watching the news reports of farmers and ranchers you know, throughout the country that were not able to get their products to market, and sadly some of them euthanized them, I thought, you know, this is an opportunity for Wyoming really to take the lead and step up and get some of our production agriculture into the food bank system, because while people have gotten it around the state in some of the local pantries, it really hasn't been a statewide system. And so there are only six states that it does have to be state inspected, and there are only six are USDA, and we only have two USDA inspection plants, and maybe three now, and only six state inspected plants. And so really it was just there were a few of them, but I reached out to a couple of them, and Jared Hamilton really stepped up immediately. And even though it's hard to find slots, he said, you know, we will get you some slots. We'll do our best. And he really did make it happen very quickly. And the Stock Growers Association, Wyoming Stock Growers with Jim Magagna, really put a reach out to all of the members and said, hey, do you have some coal cows or some animals that you'd like to donate? And worked with the Wyoming Department of Agriculture, Doug Miyamoto, who does the works with the inspections of the processors. And we all just kind of came, put our heads together, and just said, let's make this happen. And I'll have to tell you, the Department of Ag employees did a GoFundMe to pay for the processing and raise the funds to do two animals in less than 24 hours. So so that's kind of how it came down. And then we thought, gosh, this has been a great project. We'd really love to go and see it come to fruition. So we all went up to Hudson and met the Food Bank of the Rockies director, Tony Waddell, there, and got that meat transferred into the food bank.
This is really great to see happening here in Fremont County. And it's nice to see this happening as well in light of COVID, and maybe happening and partially because of COVID. So this is kind of an interesting time for all the producers and processors and consumers out there.
Oh, yeah. And that's one thing I, when I was speaking with Jim, he said, you know, farmers and ranchers are really ready to step up, but they're just not sure what to do. And so the call to action came, and they just really came forward, you know, and it's tough for them too, you know, prices have dropped. And so the ability to be able to donate and knowing that still you're going to have, you know, maybe some tough times in the fall really shows you that agriculture will always have our backs.
Absolutely. So let's transition a little bit to the most recent one here, Food from the Field. Could you give us a little bit of background on that one and maybe some goals or what you have in mind for the future of it?
Sure. So that actually was in the works prior to the Food from the Farm and Ranch.
Oh, okay.
It just leapfrogged over because of the COVID. But we have been working on this. I'm a hunter, and I've done the ladies' antelope hunt for 8 years now. And while we donate those to the local pantries, again, there was no statewide effort. And also people were having to donate not only their game meat, but also the processing, because there wasn't a program. And so I had Brian Nisbick in a small area where he couldn't get away from me, the Game and Fish director. And I asked him if, what would be the stumbling block on this? And of course, there is some chronic wasting disease in our state. And so that seems to be one of the stumbling blocks. And so we came up with a program where we could, some of the same partners, Wyoming Game and Fish Department, Food Bank of the Rockies, the Wyoming Department of Agriculture, and the Wyoming Hunger Initiative, and kind of came up with a program so that we could find a way to get the animal tested prior to it being processed, because once, of course, it's processed and it goes into the system, then it's very hard to recall it. Mm-hmm. So they won't be processed until the testing results are back, and then they'll be processed. And we were very fortunate. There were two Wyoming Game and Fish commissioners. One of them, Pat Crank, and the other is Pete Doobie. And they donated one of their commissioner tags, each one of their commissioner tags to us. And we are using that as a raffle to raise money to pay for that processing. So once the hunter comes in, we ask them if they can donate the processing. That's great. If they can't, we want it still to be able to, if they want to donate their animal. So we will pay for the processing using those funds.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, Jenny, do you have any projection as to how much meat that could possibly be donated this fall during hunting season?
Well, we did talk to the Montana does a very similar program, and they've been in the works for quite some time. So they said, what you really want to make sure you do is start off on the right foot, where it's an easy process for the hunter as well as the processor. So we're, reaching out to the processors first. We're going to have a contract with them so that they know how much they will be able to process, how much they'll be reimbursed for the processing. So it really depends on how much we make on those commissioner tags, because once that those funds are gone, then we'll probably not be able to continue the program. So we're hoping to make enough on those that we'll be able to process, a deer and antelope, about $100. We're hoping to raise about $25,000 from each tag. So mathematically, of course, we'd love to get some elk too.
Sure.
So it's more a poundage, I guess, from that. So I don't have my calculator in front of me.
No worries at all.
But I bet I can work up a spreadsheet for you and send it to you.
That's okay. No worries. So circling back here, Jenny, let's talk a little bit more about the USDA certified meat processors here in Wyoming. You'd mentioned there's just a handful of them, maybe even a little bit less than a handful of actually USDA certified processors. Is there any part of your initiative that's kind of helping move them toward becoming USDA certified?
Yes. So they can be either, if they don't cross state lines, state certification is just fine.
Oh,
so
okay.
We are fine. Yeah. So USDA is only if they're going to be crossing state lines.
Gotcha.
Most of those local plants really do have all the sanitary conditions, mm-hmm. and they don't have that person maybe on site, the state inspection, when they do the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, speaking with the department head, Doug Miyamoto from the Department of Ag, he said there is getting to be a lot more interest in that certification because of what's happening with the packing plants across the state. And I'm trying to visit with folks as I go along, just anyone who might have some ideas. Tyler Lindholm, who's a representative out of Crook County, did pass a bill or presented a bill for the Food Freedom Act. And so I visited with him a little bit, trying to understand if maybe there's some legislative things that they're going to work on. So I think that it's really coming to the forefront because of those packing plants closing. And I do hope and think there is probably going to be a few of those facilities that will become state inspected.
That's great. Yeah. So we just had another one in Riverton open up here. It was in mid-March, so kind of that beginnings of COVID locally here in Fremont County. And, they were chatting with me about how much they have to, go through just in general just to be state certified and getting those inspections. And, they still have so much to do for it, whether it's inspections, paperwork, that kind of thing. So there's quite a bit it. And I think just kind of understanding the difference between the two is kind of a big piece of it as well. So that's interesting. And it's been a learning experience for me as well, because I've never really ventured into the realm of meat processing. So that's been kind of a fascinating aspect. But knowing, like, you know, all of these folks who are, you know, state certified, they have so many inspections and very rigorous, you know, health and all of that thing that's happening as well. So it's super important for folks to know that just because they're not USDA certified, it doesn't mean it's just, you know, kind of a free for all happening. It's, there's still a huge, you know, very rigorous, set of standards that they have to stick to. So that's, kind of an interesting aspect as well.
Right. And it can be consumed, once it's state inspected, it can be consumed in schools. It can be consumed in restaurants. So really that USDA tag is just to get across the state line.
Yeah, which is great to know, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions around that. And I personally had those before I kind of ventured into this as well, is like, oh, I was like, well, then you can't, you know, use it in schools. So what's the, you know, like, you might as well go for the USDA so you can do that. But that is not the case. So like you said, it's just the state lines. And that's a nice, simple way to put it. So, Jenny, what's next for the Wyoming Hunger Initiative?
One thing we are really, we were working on prior to COVID, and of course, COVID kind of took this a little bit off the table, is unpaid school lunch debt in our state. Mm-hmm. And it is actually, I don't have the exact figure, but it's over $250,000 throughout the entire state.
Wow.
So it's quite, it is not a small amount. And so we had actually been reaching out to some of the school districts that had higher debt. And one thing that, you know, they mentioned to us is that they were not giving the child the alternate meal. They were giving the child the hot meal, and what they really felt like is they needed to take the child out of the equation. The debt is between the school district and the parent, and they didn't want, you know, kids to feel, you know, singled out because they weren't, their lunch wasn't being paid for. So we are working on a program called Angel Accounts, and we'll be working with the school districts. They will have a contract between them and the parent. And the parent will say how much they can pay off. They'll negotiate that. And then once they have satisfied that debt, then the Angel Account Fund will come in and pay the difference. So we want to have the parents to have skin in the game, but we also really want to remove that child from the situation because, you know, certainly they don't have any control over that.
Absolutely. That's great. That's a significant number. I didn't realize it was that high.
My jaw hit the floor when I heard that amount.
Yeah.
And you know, different school districts have different amount because it's all local control, which is wonderful. But you know, some of those higher debt, it's kind of, it flopped, my, perception on its head because I thought, okay, we need these higher school debts, higher debt districts really should be partnered with the lower debt district and get some help. And then what I realized is if they're not giving the alternate meal, they're feeding the child. And really what we wanted was them to feed that child. So, it's one of those things, the perception is not always what the reality is. So I'm really grateful that I visited with those districts, and we'll get back together in the fall and get some of those contracts done and see if we can't get that alleviated for both the parent and the child. No parent, really wants to have that debt over their head as well. So really giving them a hand up, not a hand out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Anything else that you, I know you have so much going on, but is there anything coming up?
Well, you know, every time I take a shower, I get an idea. So those are the, you know, I really want to get these programs kind of up and going and in full swing. And then we'll look at the other, you know, areas, but really these infrastructure grants are really, it feels really good to get them out because, you know, now folks who do want to maybe get someone donates a beef to this small pantry, they actually have a fridge to put it or a freezer to put it in now. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting. I do know one Boys and Girls Club needed a stove for their new building. And so we're excited to go around and visit these groups after, things kind of settle down maybe in the fall and, mm-hmm. and see what they were able to do for their organizations.
Well, that's fantastic. I really appreciate your time, Jenny. That's been great. And thank you so much for sharing all the happenings that are going on with the Wyoming Food Initiative and what we can look forward to in the fall. Maybe we can set up a time in the fall and chat a little more. But this has been really great. I appreciate it.
Oh, I would love that. And we will be getting back up into Fremont County. I'd love to. We want to get to some of the school districts. You know, great. Folks that are feeding kids during this time, the school, the nutrition services folks have been the heroes here,
Absolutely.
And I do want to get out and visit them all because, I've talked to almost every director on the phone and they are, they're tired, but they're still pushing forward. So I think they deserve a huge shout out as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. All of our local schools have been really great. I feel like almost weekly I get updates from them saying, okay, we're going, we're going to continue foods through this date and this date and this date. And it's really great to see that happening. And I know, a lot of our local families depend upon that. Mm-hmm. It's great to see it kind of expanding through the summer as well. So excited to see where all that goes. But yeah, when you're in Fremont County, I hope Trista will let me know and I can come meet you somewhere.
That would be great, Amanda.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for your time. I really do appreciate it. And thank you for all that you're doing for Wyoming.
Well, thank you so much. And you have a great day.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.